Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Yet indeed, it is one more day to praise the Lord. So we thank you. Thank you for the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, the encouragement of the scriptures. We give you praise and glory. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word gives light and brings in understanding unto us as well. So let it be even here today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want to just share a few scriptures for us today to give us encouragement, strength, and rest for you from the Lord. Praise the Lord. We'll look at some scriptures, various places where God gave those kinds of assurances, for his presence with us, to strengthen us, and to give us rest. Praise the Lord. You know, even in the time of Moses, he had the grace of God tremendously with him, the cloudy pillar by day, the pillar of fire by night, a lot of miracles, a lot of signs and wonders. Yet, you know, in spite of it all, he still needed encouragement of the continued grace and support of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so Moses, he stood and prayed before the Lord in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 12. He said, "Lord, see, you have said unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom you would send with me." So he's looking for instruction. "Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight." Now that's what the Lord told him. So he's going to cash in on that right now. "Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, just like you said, now show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace." Lord already told him, "I found grace in my sight." But he said, "Well, if I indeed have found grace in thy sight, if indeed it is so that you know my name, like you said, then let me find grace in thy sight and show me thy way." Isn't that wonderful? And then pray for over and cash in on the thing that the Lord already said to him. And that's something for us to learn from. Whatever the Lord already said to you, tell it back to him and use it to pray. "Well, you said so, so let it be then. You know, let thy words be verified in my life as it is this day. That which you have spoken by your mouth, perform it with your great hand, your strong and mighty hand in my life as it is this day." Hallelujah. And then he said, and then the Lord responded. You see, when you talk to the Lord like that, he will respond. And the Lord responded and he said, "My presence shall go with thee and I will give you rest." Well, the presence of the Lord was always with him. But now the Lord, you know, giving him assurance. He needed that reassurance. And every time we need that reassurance, we need to go to the Lord. And you might hear just the same words. "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Why do you need rest? Well, there's armies on the way. There's all kinds of things that you're going to need to deal with. And why do we need rest today? Why do we need the presence of the Lord to go with us today? Well, there's all kinds of things that we face every day. Every morning when you wake up, it's a new day, a new battleground. There's all kinds of things that are waiting in the wings to slam up against you. But the promise of the Lord, "I will be with you," hallelujah, "and my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Glory to God. So let's consider the scriptures that the Lord gives us to encourage us. And this man, he knows how to argue with the Lord. He's right there. And say, "Well, you know, you said your presence will go with me. Well, if your presence will not go," the Lord already said his presence will go. But he said, "Look, there's any place I'm going and the Lord's presence will not go with me, tent. Don't even let me step out on that journey. That's right. That's the kind of prayer we ought to pray every day. Lord, I know your presence will go with me. You said so. But if there's any place that I will venture to go, that your presence will not go with me, then carry me not thence. Let me not even go in that direction. You know, prevent it, block it. Hallelujah. So that I won't even be able to do it. Put a wall, you know, on my left, on my right, everywhere that you don't want me to go, so I won't be able to turn to it. Hallelujah. When we give the Lord permission to do that, he will do it. But the Lord promised to go with you and to give you rest. Praise the Lord. And, you know, the Lord said unto Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And then on, and Moses began to ask for the Lord to show him his glory. And let's consider a few more scriptures that have to do with the rest that God will give to us. Strength and rest. Well, that's the lesson today. You will need it. Some of us are needing it already. And every one of us will need it from time to time. So remember these scriptures. Psalm 29 and verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, this is when your strength is weak. You know, you have to go to job. It's draining. You're in your business. It's draining. You know, whatever you're doing, you know, and other challenges of life, things that you've been going through, it's just, they're just draining the strength out of you. How do you carry on? Well, the Lord said, I will give you strength. The Lord will give strength unto his people. When you are weak, his strength will be made perfect unto you. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, what is peace? Well, we've defined peace many different ways. Peace could be the absence of trouble, the absence of challenges and adversity and so forth. But also, peace could mean in spite of all of that. Peace, you know, calmness, quietness, even in the midst of trouble and adversity. In the eye of the storm, God can still give you calmness and be right there with you. So, you know, it's a good thing if we give us rest all about, that we don't have any challenges. But even when we do, he promises that he will be there as well to give us peace through the storm. Hallelujah. And rest. Hallelujah. There's a new anointing. I brought up the prophetic word came to us and said, a new anointing is coming to the elect of God at the end of the age. And it gives us strength and rest. Glory to God. So, to the elect of God, we are trusting for that strength and that grace at all times. Praise the Lord. In the book of Psalms, you know, Psalms 27 verses 1 to 3, we sang this. I mean, we spoke about, I mean, it was part of the song that we listened to. The Lord is my strength and my life. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord is a light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now, this is your declaration. This was the psalmist's declaration. So sometimes the Lord will say it to you. Sometimes you declare it for yourself. You know, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Hallelujah. You know, and anytime anything try to come up against you to eat up your flesh, they will stumble and fall. And, you know, though an host should encamp against me, this man said, you know, my heart should not fear. You know, war rise up on every side. Even in this will I be confident. He knew, you know, the Lord in whom he has trusted. Praise the Lord. And the Lord will give us rest, you know, all the things that may rise up against you on one side, on the other side, and so forth. Now, you know, listen to this. Psalm 127 and verse 2. Now, remember that we must lean upon the Lord all the time in order to get the full benefit of his strength and his arms. You know, you're in his arms, then you are confident and he's there with you. You know, and he said, look, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, only to eat the bread of sorrows. For so the Lord giveth his beloved sleep. What does this mean? Well, I mean, it's a good thing to be hardworking. You know, God doesn't like us to be lazy. Scripture talks about that. You know, a little sleep, a little folding of the arms, so shall thy poverty come upon you as an armed one, and so forth. God doesn't want us to be lazy. The sluggard, you know, folds his arms. You know, he said there's a lion in the street and this and that. He doesn't want to do anything. So God doesn't want all of that. He wants us to be hard working. But sometimes this hard working becomes hard labor. It's not just work anymore. It's labor. Let there be more burdens laying upon them, you know, so that they will not have rest. So the tactic of Pharaoh, talked about it multiple times in this room. Well, so the Lord said, look, it is vain. Consider it vanity. You know, you got to wake up early. You got to work 2-3 jobs. You know, you can't make ends meet. Even with all of that, you got to run up and down. You don't have time for anything. You know, and on top of it. Now, if you do all of that and the Lord blesses you, it's great. But if you do all of that and yet it's still like eating the bread of sorrows, then that's vanity. That's what he's talking about. Nothing wrong with, you know, doing all you can. While you can make hay while the sun shines, you know, nothing wrong with that. You know, if you can, you know, he said, look, it is good that a young man, you know, should bear, you know, the yoke in their youth. That's the time for you to do all these things. Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 27. When you are young, that's when you should do 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 jobs, whatever you can do. Bear the yoke. Go to school, get an education, get more degrees while you are young. It is good for a man that he should bear the yoke in his youth. While you are in the yoke, do everything you can do during that time. But remember, the Lord also, while you are doing all of that, that look, can give you rest. You know, if you're doing all of that and still it's turning to nothing, it's kind of like putting money in a bag of holes, then, you know, it's vanity. It's really the ploy of the devil, you know, to lay in more stuff upon you so that you will not have any rest. But God wants us to have rest. You know, he'll bless the work of your hands. You know, you will put in good work, but then the Lord will increase it as well. You can stretch whatever you do because of the grace to bring strength, the grace to give you rest. You know, so that's what we want to talk about today. Rest doesn't necessarily mean that you are sleeping on the bed 24 hours of the day and doing nothing. Rest just means freedom from trouble and anxiety. You know, it just give you that rest. You know, you're doing whatever you're doing. You're enjoying the Lord. You're praising the Lord. You know, and the Lord is blessing the work of your hands. You know, for a man to do good, I mean, enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God, you know. And if you are not enjoying it, though, then that's not the gift of God. You know, if you are, you know, working hard and enjoying the good of all your labor, then that's the gift of God. That is very good to do that. Ecclesiastes, you know, tell us that, you know, it's a good for a man to enjoy the good of all his labor. You know, the Lord is the one that gives you those things, you know, and it's good. It's, you know, if we work hard, we should also enjoy it. I mean, those are the things that God wants us to do, you know, but if the working hard is, you know, not leading to anything, then that's vanity. So Ecclesiastes wrote about in multiple places, the man should rejoice in his own works, and the portion of which God has given him, that he should enjoy the good of all his labor. It's the gift of God, and he would tell us various things like that, but when it is turning to sorrow, you do all of that, just everything you do, yet, it's all kinds of things. House is breaking down, car is breaking down, this is this and that. You have to earn all your hard-earned money, use it to pay all this, get out of trouble all the time. Well, God needs to give you rest from that. Praise the Lord. So, that's part of the lesson on this morning. God wants to give us that kind of rest. Praise the Lord. Let's consider Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 13. There are many verses in Ecclesiastes where he talks about, this kind of thing. But let's look at this one. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It's a gift of God, and God doesn't want you to labor and not enjoy it. And then, then that's a burden. That's how slaves labor. They just labor, labor, labor. They can't sit down and enjoy anything. They're laboring for somebody else all the time. And the children of Israel, they have whips in their back. Anytime they sat down to rest, their taskmasters will whip them. Say, get up and do your stuff. Why are you here idling all day long? And sometimes they put even more burdens upon them. And they never have time. They never had any time to even think of any rest. And when they thought of rest and came to Pharaoh and said, we want to go 3 days journey into the wilderness to worship the Lord. He said, it is because you slacked off. That's why you're having time to think about going to worship God. Now, you taskmasters, see to it. Now, let there be more burdens laden upon them, so that they won't have time to think about this. And don't even give them any supply. Don't give them any hay or straw, let them go fetch for themselves, and do not diminish anything from their tale of labor that they should bring, and then add more stuff upon them so they won't have time. And they're idle. That's why they say, we'll go worship the Lord. So this is the same trick till today. Anytime you don't have time to go into the house of the Lord because you got to work and work and work, well, it's the same trick, Make sure there's more burden laden upon them. Actually, it's more than a trick. It's the same tactic that the devil is using. But the Lord wants us to enjoy our labor. He also wants us to rest. He also wants us to have the grace, to serve him even in the midst of all of that. Praise the Lord. Here are some more scriptures to encourage us for the strength and the grace that the Lord wants to give us. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, the Lord promises us rest and peace. Verses 3 and 4. For thou wilt keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the Lord. When we stay our mind on the Lord, not on all the things that are trying to buffet us, but stay your mind on the Lord. The Lord will keep you in perfect peace because you trust in the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. The strength that the Lord has will uphold you, give you strength. Even when you are weary, sometimes on our job, in our businesses, there are cycles that seem like they will almost, stifle us, You got to go through different things, challenges, deadlines, and, audits and different things that you got to go through. Well, the Lord said, I will give you rest. Hallelujah. And I will strengthen you. The Lord will strengthen you. All those weakened knees and weakened hands, he'll give you strength in the name of Jesus. But you must trust in the Lord for the strength. Isaiah chapter 32. you know, the blessing of the Lord comes to us because of the righteousness, you know, that we have in him. Praise the Lord. The righteousness, and we will be free, he said, from oppression and all these things. Glory to God. You know, the Lord, the walk of righteousness, he said, shall be peace. Glory to God. And the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. Isaiah 32, verse 17. And then listen to verse 18. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. And this is the promise of God. If you're not getting that rest, well, we need to call upon the Lord and say, Lord, what you said, just like Moses said, well, you said you'll be with me, therefore be with me then. You said you'll give me rest, therefore give me rest then. You said I found favor, therefore let me find favor then. You know, so, you know, my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. This is the promise of the Lord. Whether there is hail or storm or upheavals or all kinds of things around you, the Lord promises you rest and peace. The walk of righteousness in your life shall be peace. And the effect thereof shall be quietness and assurance forever. Praise the Lord. So these are promises. Take note of these promises. That was Isaiah 32, verses 17 and 18. Powerful, powerful scripture. Well, what about Isaiah 40, verses 29 to 31? This is a well-known scripture, you know, that, you know, the Lord has given us as assurance. You know, every time we wait on the Lord, you know, he will renew our strength. Praise the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean fasting. You know, some people think waiting on the Lord means fasting. You know, it means you wait on the Lord. That's exactly what it says. You know, he didn't say them that fast, you know, shall renew their strength. You know, there's promise for fasting, but this is waiting on the Lord. If you think this is about fasting, then that means when you are not fasting, you are not waiting on the Lord. No, we're waiting on the Lord all day long, whether you are fasting or not fasting. Traditionally, we have used this scripture to mean, you know, when we are fasting. But no, it is when we wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember, I am thy handmaid, be it unto me according to thy word. What does a handmaid do? They're waiting right there on the hand of your master. You know, when they are eating, you're there. What else do you need? Can I get you a napkin? Can I get you water? You know, they tell you one thing, you do it. They tell you another thing, you do it. You know, that's waiting on the Lord. That's what waiters do in the restaurant. They bring you your food. They're hanging around. They see, what else do you need? They're ready to take your order. They're ready to get you something else. You know, are we always waiting on the Lord, you know, ready to get his next order? Jesus said it himself, you know, in the book of Luke chapter 17, he said, look, you know, when you have a servant and you sent him to go and do something in the field, when he comes back, well, are you going to tell him to go and sit down and eat? Of course not. You're going to tell him to go and fix your food. And when he fixes your food, you might even send him another errand. After he does all those things, then he can eat. You know, so, you know, the servant must wait on the master. I say, therefore, so ye therefore, likewise, you know, after you've done all these things, well, you say that you are unprofitable, you know, servants. You know, you can read that in Luke chapter 17, verses 7 to 10. So that's what we do when we are waiting on the Lord. You get do one command, you wait on the next, and so on and so forth. You know, his command is, I mean, you know, our thriving force in our lives. He said, you know, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Whatever he commands, we do. That's what makes us to thrive. We exist at his pleasure. And those that are like that, well, you know, when you realize that you exist at the pleasure of the Lord, his wishes becomes your command. Anything he says, it is so. He commands you do. Then here's a promise for that. That's real waiting on the Lord. Here's a powerful promise in the book of Isaiah chapter 40. For those that wait on the Lord like that, he will renew your strength. Hallelujah. You know, you're going to even have strength like the eagles. You know, the eagles are a powerful, powerful bird. You know, he can, when he flaps those wings, my goodness, can really go high. Praise the Lord. So, you know, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. The Lord said, hast thou not known, and hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, you know, he fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. That's Isaiah 40 and verse 28. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, increaseth strength. So he can give you strength, you know. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men who are usually strong might even fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Therefore, wait on the Lord, and he will renew your strength. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He will renew your strength from day to day, you know, from faith to faith and from glory to glory. He will renew your strength. Be of good courage, he said in Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. I say, wait, I say, on the Lord. He will strengthen you. He will renew your strength, basically. When we are weak, and it seems like we are overwhelmed, and we just can't even go on, the grace of the Lord will find you, and he will renew your strength. So wait on him. Don't give up on the Lord. Don't give up on yourself either. He will strengthen you. He will be with you. No matter what you're going through, he'll be right there with you. Praise the Lord. The people that do know their God. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32, the latter part of it, shall be strong and do exploits. Well, the knowledge of God is what brings strength into our life. Show me thy way, O Lord, that I may know thee. Well, that's what gave strength to Moses in his life. Show me thy way. The people that know the Lord, they will be strong. The knowledge of God that God gives us every day through the Holy Spirit, through reading the scriptures, through staying close with him in prayers and everything, communicating with him all the time, that's what's going to give us strength. Praise the Lord. Remember Habakkuk. He had this thing, although the fig tree shall not blossom, he said. Habakkuk 3 and 17. Even if there is no fruit on the vines, the labor of the olive has failed, the fields have yielded no meat, the flocks have been cut up from the fold, and there's nothing going on. It looks like, you know, he'd lost everything. You know, you might say bankrupt. You know, say, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Yet will I joy in the God of my salvation. Why? Because the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds feet. My goodness. He will cause me to walk upon my high places. You know, the Lord is my strength and is the lifter up of my head. You know, will cause me to walk upon my high places. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on, I'm coming out of there. I'm getting above it. Hallelujah. I'm going to ride above everything. I'm going to rise above obstacles. I'm going to rise above all these things. The Lord will strengthen me. And these people knew how to encourage themselves in the Lord because the Lord first encouraged them. So they themselves turn around and encourage themselves by the same word wherewith God had already encouraged them. In the book of Zechariah chapter 4, you know, and verse 9. Hallelujah. Listen to this. The word of the Lord came unto him. He said, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it. Thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Now listen, what does that mean? Well, your hands will not be weary. That which the Lord gave you grace to start, his grace will be with you to finish it. Your hands started the thing. Ha! Glory to God. It might be a business venture. It might be whatever that you are into. Well, you will not be weary. When you are weary, the Lord will strengthen you. You know, because the Lord wants you to be a finisher. Hallelujah. Just like he is. An author. So the author and finisher of our faith. And like I've often said to people and in this platform multiple times, our God doesn't start anything until first he has finished the thing. He finished it first and then he started it. You know, that's because his ways are not our ways. You say, well, that's strange. Well, yeah, because that's how he walks. In his mind, it's already done. Hallelujah. That's why the Lamb was slain before the world even began. He finished that work of salvation before it even started. Before Adam was even born, it was done, already finished. Praise God. So the same thing, God finished, he finished it even before he started. To us, it looks like he's just starting it, but as far as he's concerned, it's already done. You know, so your hands that started the thing, the good thing that the Lord put it on your hands. He said, what is in your hand? He said, well, this and this. Well, it is enough. Put it back in the Lord's hand. Put a blessing on it. The good thing that he put in your hands, God has given you and will give you the grace. Your same hands that started will also finish it. Praise God. We'll see you through it. We'll strengthen you. You will not be weary and you will not be weak. And God wants you to be a finisher. Hallelujah. Not just a starter. You know, I say to young people all the time, be a finisher. Finisher. Don't just start something and, quit. No. Your hands started it. You know, your hands will also finish it. The grace of God will be with you to finish it. Even when your hands are weary. Remember, you know, Jesus does not want us to, put our hands, you know, on the plow and then look back. He doesn't want that. In fact, you know, he said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, no man having put his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So once you put your hands on the plow, you stay right there and the Lord, he will give you the grace to finish it. But the trouble is, before you put your hands on the plow, did you ask him if you should put those hands on that particular plow? Well, that's the question. You know, we got to be guided by the Holy Spirit. We can't do things, jump into things, and then halfway through we started to pray and asking God to help us. Well, pray first and let him lead you, even from the beginning, before you jump into it. You know, and once the Lord says so, then you put your hands in there and you stay right there. Praise God. You double down, you know, stay right there. Don't give an inch. Hallelujah. Say, I will not be moved. Psalm 125 says, you know, the Lord surrounds his people like the mountains around Jerusalem. They will not be moved. Those that trust in the Lord, they will not be moved. No matter what's going on, you know, they can withstand it. Because the strength of the Lord is with them. Isn't that beautiful? When the strength of the Lord is with you every day to give you strength, to give you rest. Hallelujah. You know, and that's what God wants us to have. If you trust in the Lord, we're told you'll be as Mount Zion. They that trust in the Lord, Psalm 125 verse 1, they shall be as Mount Zion. Cannot be removed, but abide forever. And as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people from now, even forever. You know, you'll be solid. You will not be moved out of your place in Jesus' name. And the devil cannot disinherit you from the inheritance of the Lord. The blessing of God which is upon you, the devil will not be able to disinherit you from it. The Lord will give you that which is good. The Lord will do good. No good thing will he withhold from those that trust him. Our God is a sun and a shield. Ha! Glory to God. He will not withhold any good thing from those that trust him. Praise the Lord. You can read that in Psalm 84 and verse 11. God, the Lord, is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And shall I say, the Lord will give you strength and rest also. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in thee for strength and for rest. Hallelujah. So these are just words to encourage us today again and again. Matthew 11, Jesus would say this himself. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come unto me. You know, you're laboring, you're walking around the clock, you're doing all of these things. Yeah, the Lord will give you strength to do it. But lean upon me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Praise God. Why will he give you rest? Well, because Jesus knows the way. That's a song we used to sing, say, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness, you know, that kind of thing. You know, he knows the way. He'll give you rest. In fact, he said, look, my own burdens and yokes, they are light and they are easy. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Or perhaps the devil put more labor on you. Let them have more bills to pay so that they won't have time. You know, let the students be laden with exam upon exam. You know, let the entrepreneurs be laden with challenges and things that hoops they have to jump through and so on and so forth. So they will not have any time. Let there be more burdens laden upon them, for they are idle. They have time on their hands to say they are going to worship the Lord. Put more burdens upon them, Pharaoh said. But the Lord said, you come unto me. I will give you rest. All ye that labor and are heavy laden now. God doesn't want us to be heavy laden because we are laboring. You know, God wants you to work, not, you know, be, you know, in that kind of hard labor. God doesn't want us to have that hard labor where we can't even rest, can't even enjoy, you know, what it is you're doing. You know, take my yoke upon thee and learn of me. Every one of us must be yoked. There is nobody that can be yokeless. You are either yoked to your job and your all the burdens of the devil, you know, and yoked to the world or this, or you are yoked to the Lord. We're yoked to something, you know, true yoke fella. You know, Paul would write to some of his assistants, people, you know, associates in the ministry. You know, we are yoked to the Lord or yoked to something else. Cannot be unyoked, you know. So now Jesus invites us to be yoked to him. You know, take my yoke upon me. Not every yoke is evil. We think of yokes as evil. But if it's the Lord's yoke, it's not evil. It's the yoke that keeps you in place, that keeps your feet straight, keep your feet from slipping, keep you from going down the wrong path. You're yoked to him. You're tied to him. Follow him in his footsteps and so on. You know, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Hallelujah. You know, and you will find rest unto your souls. You know, so this is the rest. My yoke is easy, he said, and my burden is light. The commandments of the Lord also, they are not grievous. So the Lord, you know, he wants to give us strength and he wants to give us rest. Praise the Lord. In the book of Mark, chapter 6, verse 31, the Lord invites the people to take time out, you know, take time out and get some rest. This was physical rest that can also lead to spiritual rest. You know, you got to have physical rest. why was it? He said, well, the people, there was so much happening, going and coming and this and that, that people didn't even have any leisure, not even so much as to eat. I mean, by the time you're going through the day, and I resemble that remark, yeah, sometimes that, you know, you guys do all this stuff and there's not even time to eat. Well, it is time. Come ye yourselves apart, Jesus said in Mark 6:31 to his disciples, into a desert place. Get away from the hustle and bustle and rest a while. This is necessary. You know, just get away from it. This is where the concept of retreat came from. You know, get away from it all. Go into a quiet place for a while, you know, and then recoup. When you recoup, then you come back stronger. Hallelujah. Why did he say that to them? Well, for there were many coming and going, people they had to minister to, people they had to deal with, even in the ministry. People in the ministry, man, you know, there's a lot of fatigue and people break down, you know, sometimes, you know, they're worn out. And he said, look, and on your job or whatever, you know, sometimes people have to deal with family, children, this, that, you know, come to the Lord and he will show you how to get that rest. These people had no leisure so much as even to eat. I mean, it was just, there was no time all day long. They were busy with one thing or the other. They couldn't even settle down to eat. And Jesus was looking at it and said, my goodness, these people are going to wear themselves out. So he said, look, let's get away from it all, you know, and go and rest for a while. I mean, you know, this was the same thing that Jethro, he looked at Moses, you know, and in Exodus chapter 18, and he saw all the things that Moses was doing. You know, Moses sat down there all day long, judging the people, teaching them the word of God and judging the people, whether it was small, any small issue. You know, my brother looked at me funny. You know, I said this word to me. He will be the one to answer that. This one took my land. This one took my this. This one slapped me around. You know, I mean, he was just doing everything, little or great. And then he must also bring the word of the Lord. And the people lined up because he was the only one. That was a long queue every day. You have to take your turn. And Jethro looked at this thing and said, the thing which you are doing is not good. You know, why do you sit alone and all the people stand by thee from morning till evening? You know, he said, well, they might say, well, because the people come to me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they bring it to me as well. And I judge one between the other and so forth. And I make them to know the statutes of God and his laws. And his father-in-law said to him, look, the thing that you are doing is not good. You know, sometimes you got to call it out. But look, this man, he called it out. He said, look, what you are doing is not good. You will surely wear away, both you and these people that are with you. For this thing is too heavy for thee alone. Thou art not able to perform it by thyself alone. Hear there now for my advice. I will give you counsel, and God shall be with you. Be thou unto God for these people toward God, and you be the priest, and so forth. They bring you all the courses to God, you know, and then you teach them the ordinances and laws, but, you know, show them the way they should walk, and so on and so forth. You know, you do that stuff which nobody else is well equipped to do like you. But there are some other stuff that other people can do, and you don't have to be the one to do it all. You're going to kill yourself and wear everybody out. You know, set them in, you know, rulers over thousands, hundreds, and so 50s and tens and so forth. You know, and my goodness, thank God that Moses was a humble man to get that advice. He could have said, well, I'm a prophet. you know, the headstone has spoken to me. You know, I've seen the pillar of fire, this and that and so on. You know, who are you to talk to me and give me advice? He didn't say any of that. He humbled himself. You know, and he got good advice, good counsel. You may have all these spiritual gifts, you know, sometimes you may need a little counsel and may come from somebody that is not even that much gifted in spiritual things, but they have counsel and you can listen to them, you know. And look, this also tells you that your leaders, they need help. Spiritual leaders need help. They cannot do this thing alone. Otherwise, they're going to wear themselves out, you know, and wear everybody out. It's not good, the thing that you are doing, you know. So anyway, he listened and he got help. And Jesus told his disciples, look, this hustle and bustle and everything you're doing, you don't even have time to eat and so forth. That's not good. Get away from it. Get some rest, recoup, and then come back stronger. Hallelujah. So we got to learn, you know, some lessons from that. Take care of our rest and everything. Now, God wants us to be strong, you know. He wants us to be strong. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it talks about taking on the strength of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Many scriptures exhort us to be like that. God doesn't like us to be weaklings. He doesn't like us to be feeble. You know, that the enemy play ping pong with you, toss you up and down, do anything he wants with you. No, God wants you to be strong in the Lord. You put your feet on the ground, unmovable. Don't let the devil, you know, toss you around and so forth, you know. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13 says, watch ye, stand ye in the faith, quit ye like men. Don't give up, you know, and be strong, you know, in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6 goes on to say, having done all, then stand. Be the last man standing. That's what that means, you know. Be the last man standing. If everybody else falls down, you stay there. You stand still. they that be planted in the house of the Lord, they are flourish like the palm tree. I've seen the palm tree swing like that sometimes with that strong wind, and then he'll still come back, bounce right back. Hallelujah. You know, God wants us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And the things that give us strength, you know, Paul goes on to explain them in that chapter 6 of Ephesians, all of the armor that we need to put on, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. But he said, above all, you know, all these things, prayer is there, you know, and so forth. But above all, taking the shield of faith, which you can quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And this, you know, yeah, and there's a, you know, weapons of defense, but there's also offense, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. It's both a defense and a offensive tool. You can use it. The shield of faith will quench anything the devil throws at you. Glory to God. You walk in righteousness. You walk in integrity of your heart. You walk in the truth. You're ready. Your feet are ready to share the gospel. You got salvation. You got the joy of the Lord. I mean, all these things. Breastplate of righteousness. You know, but the Lord, he wants us to be strong. And here's the way Paul said it. I can do all things. Glory to God. Philippians 4 and 13. He knew he had strength, you know, and he's not going to succumb. I mean, this man, Paul, buffeted on every side, cast down, done this and so forth, but not destroyed. He come back strong every time. He said, look, you know, at times I'm hungry, there are times I'm full, there are times that I'm this and that, you know, but whatever it is, I know I can do all things through Christ. I have learned both to be abound and to be hungry, to suffer need and to have plenty. I am instructed both how to be full and everything. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4. And you can read from verses 12 to 13. I have learned in every state that I am in. I'm content. Whether I'm up, I'm content. Whether I'm down, I'm content. You know, I've got the grace of God with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. None of these things move me at all. He said, praise God. Persecutions, trials, testings, beatings. He said, none of these things move me. You know, I can do all things. You know, even when I don't have anything, I know I have everything. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, he had a demeanor of confidence and faith in the Lord. And the Lord gave him strength. The Lord told him, you know, when you are weak, you are strong. My grace is sufficient for thee. Huh? Praise God. Hallelujah. And I will give you strength. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I mean, there were some things that, you know, Paul was praying about. And he said, look, I sought the Lord multiple times, you know, for this thing. And the Lord said to him, look, you know, let's read it the way he said it. You know, he was talking about, you know, some of the revelations and various things. Unless I should be exalted above measure, 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, you know, through the abundance of the revelations that was given unto me, a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Well, there's been a lot of debate on what that thorn in the flesh is. But let's leave that alone. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that he might depart from me. And the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient unto thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Well, you know, so, well, therefore will I glory in my infirmities, the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, so I'll take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses and all these things for Christ's sake, all the things that I go through, because when I am weak, then I am strong because of the strength of the Lord, you know. And then he said, look, the Lord told me point blank, my grace is sufficient for thee. Hallelujah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren of the household of faith and of walking with God, let me tell it to you today. The grace of the Lord is sufficient for thee. And his strength will be with you. When you are weary, he will strengthen you. Glory to God. You know, he will strengthen the hands, the weary hands that hang down, the feeble knees, the heads that are bowed. God will give you rest. Praise the Lord. Rest on every side. You know, my people shall dwell in quiet resting places. Well, that's our exhortation and prayer for you today, and the Lord will strengthen you through whatever it is you're going through. Remember, lean not to your own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3. Powerful, powerful scripture in verse 5. But in everything you acknowledge him. Don't lean on your own understanding, you know, but, you know, trust in the Lord and acknowledge him in all your ways. He will direct your paths. He will give you strength also. Before we embark on something that we're going to start and not finish, well, ask the Holy Spirit in the first place. You know, lest aptly you have started and you couldn't finish and everybody begin to mock you. Jesus told those stories. You know, so we lean on the Holy Spirit, we ask. But once you are in there, you know, if the Holy Spirit told you to go for it, then you go for it. Praise God. The Holy Spirit said, go forward, then you go forward. Your commander-in-chief has spoken. Praise the Lord. He will strengthen you through the battle. He will be there. Sometimes he will even say to you, you shall not need to fight in this battle, but the battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. Well, when the Lord says you shouldn't fight or needing to fight, then what should you do? Well, you worship and you praise the Lord. So that's it. There's always something for us to do. When you are not fighting, you are worshiping. When you are waiting, we heard in this room before, when you are knocking on the door, waiting for it to be opened, you are waiting in the corridor of praise. Hallelujah. You know, you'll be praising the Lord while you're waiting for that door to be opened. You'll be knocking, and that door is going to open, because to everyone that knocketh, it shall be opened. You'll be praying. You'll be asking. If you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, it will be open unto you. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh will find. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And so, you know, you knock until it's open. Don't give up. You go to your friend's house and you see their car is outside. You know they're there when you knock. If you really want to see them, you're not going to knock once and then walk away, because you know they're there. You're going to keep knocking until they open. Well, if you walk away, well, you really didn't want to get inside. That's what that means. Praise the Lord. You know, you just ring the doorbell and walk away. You know, the delivery people, they do that. They don't really need to get inside. They just want to, you know, notify you that they've left something by your door. So they just ring the door, leave the thing and walk away. Well, that's not you. You're not just notifying the Lord that you came and knocked. You stay right there. You know, give him no rest until he opened the door. That's right. You knock, you praise, you knock, you thank him. You praise, you thank him, you knock again. You know, and, you know, you just hang right with it until he opens. And then you look for that trigger. You know, you look for that trigger. Now, maybe you are knocking, maybe you haven't found the trigger. The trigger is something that God has said about that, that relates to that. And when you find it, you latch onto it. You repeat it back to him. And then the Lord said, see, she finally came around. She's speaking my word now, giving us permission to do this. And so you guys go down there. You know, all he needs is one strong angel coming on your behalf. You know, angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word, Psalm 103:20, they're ready. The moment you align yourself with the word. And remember what we said a couple of days ago, that prophetic release has the ability to cause that shift. All you got to do is align with it. And there's a prophetic word also for you today. It's simple. We didn't have to say, thus saith the Lord, but it is the word of the Lord. That the Lord said, I will give you strength and I will give you peace. Hallelujah. Only stay your heart upon the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And that will cause you to have a shift in your mind. Whereas you thought, well, I can't make it. This struggle, this burden, this journey is too strong for me. Well, the Lord said, well, I'll be with you then. Praise God. Elijah was about to go on a long journey through the wilderness, which, you know, was too long for him or too tedious. The Lord knew, sent an angel, you know, gave him some food, slept a little bit. Angel came back, woke him up again. Said, look, this journey is too long for you. You know, eat again and go in the strength of that meal. Hallelujah. So the Lord, he will be with you. He will strengthen you and he will give you rest. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to pray over the room. That's my brief exhortation to us today, that the Lord will give us strength and rest in all your difficulties, through your tribulations. Say thanks be unto God that causes us always to triumph. And there's a way that he will do it and gives us comfort in all our troubles, you know, distresses, so that we also may comfort others who are troubled. Praise the Lord. And God has given us the grace. He said, I will give you grace and I will give you strength. Now, thanks be unto God. 2 Corinthians 2:14 always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Father, I lift up your children that are in the room today who have heard the word of exhortation. Let this word be made flesh in our hearts. Let us not be hearers only, but clingers unto the word. We hear, we cling unto it, and we do it. The Lord said, lean upon me and trust not in your own understanding. And Lord, we're leaning upon you for strength. I pray for the hands that are hanging down. Let them be lifted up. I pray for the feeble knees to receive strength. And I declare unto the heads that are bowed down, lift up those heads, O ye gates. Let the King of glory come on in. And Lord, wherever there is weakness, let there be strength instead. The word of the Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to give you beauty for ashes, to give you strength for weakness, I might add, and to give you rest where you have labored and have been heavy laden. We give you even the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And everywhere where you have been troubled, we give you rest with us in the name of Jesus. Tribulation to those that trouble you, but rest with us who are troubled, because you are standing upon the word of the Lord. May the Lord grant everyone rest and strength in Jesus' name. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. We receive that, O Lord, that you have spoken, and may we experience and be cognizant of your presence that's always with us. And may we enter into that rest. There remaineth a rest for the people of God that they might enter in daily. but those to whom it was once offered couldn't enter in because of unbelief. May we stir up our most holy faith in believing that the Lord said, come and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, for it is easy. Receive my burden, for it is light, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Rest unto all the souls that are in here today. We ask in the name of Jesus, peace and strength to everyone. That we will not be discouraged. That we will keep moving on. Go forward, the Lord has said. The Lord strengthen everyone through your day, today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.